Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Beasley switching in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Boyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Boyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's welcome you into the holiday version of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And a big shout out to all of you out there. Holiday week for all of us. We are certainly looking forward to some time off. And tonight we hope to finish out the year with a very solid show here. Tonight, though, in real gratitude, I just want to remind people of two men, two very important people to me, Tom Clare, the author, and Freddie Reyes, who's helped me with Kick Cancer events, both fighting cancer. Keep them in your thoughts. Tom and Freddie are two of the most amazing people I have met in my life, amongst other young children that fought and fight cancer, as well as adults on a daily basis, and their families. So we're off and running here. We got Moose Cup talk today, Caribou Cup, Christmas holiday music. Andrew, we got all that great holiday music queued up. I hope you enjoyed the list I picked.
Oh, we'll be ready, Glenn. Don't you worry.
You may have stepped out there. See that? Dynamo President John Walker is going to come up in the next segment, okay? It's a big night. John will address everything around the Houston Dynamo. Then we'll take a segment after that. And that's when I want you to call and react to the interview with John Walker. You can also call in now at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. What do you want for Christmas when it comes to soccer? Gotten a lot of Twitter reaction, DP, new coach. Yep, those are obvious ones. Anything else that you would want? It's also a big night for the Houston soccer community. We will talk with former area youth player Chris Bondi. He's taking the job now at the University of Connecticut. He was last at Northeastern. Remember in 2000, Bondi, along with four other Houston kids, all that played for the Hurricane Soccer Club, five of them, won a national championship at UConn under Ray Reed. Ray Reed is the coach Chris Bondi will be replacing, the legendary Ray Reed, at the University of Connecticut. Ray Reed will also be on this show. So there you go. Another area youth player in the news, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this, but this is one that got away. This is a guy that should be working for the Houston Dynamo, Eric Quill. Quill grew up in Houston like Bondi. He is now going to move from North Texas to USL affiliated to become an assistant at the Columbus Crew under Caleb Porter. So he's been working with North Texas SC, the USL second tier affiliate to FC Dallas. He's now the assistant coach at the Columbus Crew. So congratulations to him and Chris Bondi. These are all guys that we have to think about in consideration that you want locals with talent that are doing the work, getting things done involved with a professional soccer club. And I do have something to say about the importance of retaining and utilizing locals at the Dynamo to help build pride, community, and culture. Everybody tosses around the word culture all the time. Well, there's ways of building it, and you do it through all aspects of your business, whether it's the front office, the academy, your relationship with the youth community. And by the way, last week we were talking about Chad Riley leading Notre Dame to the semifinals of the College Cup, only to lose on penalty kicks to the eventual champion Clemson. Streaming at ESPN975.com, we welcome all of you listening in on 92.5 as well. I do know some UConn soccer fans, former players, alumni are tuning in tonight, so welcome to all of you. And we will, again, get to Ray Reed and Chris Bondi tonight. It's a great story. Show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. You give them a call at 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They get the show on the air all the time. You hear me, promoting John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm because their importance in the world of soccer here and getting this on the airwaves. And I do believe this is the show that brings more, healthy criticism and healthy pressure than any in the city. I hope that's going to change. At some point, we want to build that up because the Dynamo want that. We want that. I want that. We all want that. Daspit Law Firm, John Daspit, thank you very much for everything both here in Houston and in Austin when it comes to getting soccer matters on the radio. Advantage BMW Midtown, Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture, FM Kitchen and Bar, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, and Snowdrop Foundation. Cactus Music as well. I was in there today. Hugh O'Connor's must have been hopping today. Liverpool, in a goal fest, equalize in stoppage time. They go straight to penalties. They win over Leicester City, who blew a 3-1 lead. And that's a bit of a crushing blow, I think, there. Also, we've got some sound to play here tonight from the U.S. men's national team. 1-0 win over Bosnia-Herzegovina. And Cole Bassett getting an 89th-minute winner. The game wasn't a great game, okay? It's typical of this month. I think what's more important is to look at the national team and where they're positioned now. These are unprecedented times. I've mentioned that word a number of times here. The team went, 17-2-3 throughout this calendar year. 17 wins is a record. In January, you get to the back end of it. You'll take on El Salvador, Canada, and Honduras in World Cup qualifying. All right, let's get some calls. 713-780-3776. How do you feel about the Dynamo move so far? Steve Clark has been added as a goalkeeper from the Portland Timbers today. That's an interesting one. That means, obviously, Marco Maric is done. I would think Steve Clark is coming here to be the first-team goalkeeper. Goalkeeping is a position that can win you games. The Dynamo have also signed Daniel Starris from the LA Galaxy. So what do you think of the Dynamo signing so far? What do you think of the coaching position still not filled? And that makes everything a little bit more difficult. And that tells you at this point that Pat Onstad has attempted to get a few people, has not been able to get his man yet. So now you got to go, if you don't get plan A or plan B, you're going to plan C. And you're trying to find a coach. It is not easy. Houston is not an easy market to be getting a coach right now, based on the context of the last 10 years, I would say. I don't think there's any question. 9 years. It's not an easy thing. Pat Onstad has an incredibly difficult job. He is going to need oodles and oodles of help. And he's going to need it from the front office. He's going to need it in all aspects of the business. Darwin Quintero was re-signed, 34 years of age. Now I got to think it's probably a couple hundred grand. That's an interesting one to me. I also think that one might have been accelerated by the fact that you don't have a coach right now. Because maybe you just got to make sure you got to keep some semblance of the current roster. I'm going to tell you a couple things because I see everybody wowed about that one. He's 34 years old. He's not the future of the franchise. Okay, let's be brutally honest here, and I would like you to contest me if you don't agree with what I'm saying. 713-780-3776. Are you back, Andrew?
Oh, I've been here the whole time, Glenn. I sort of replied the first time, but I guess it was too late for you.
He stands out on a team that has struggled in the last 2 years. He stood out. He stood out this year after the team was eliminated from the playoffs. And it took him about five or six opportunities to finally play himself into shape. So if you looked at that time period where he started playing more, he was literally playing himself in shape in front of you. And then he has that great game against Seattle and everybody's wowed and yada, yada, yada. Why wasn't he playing at the beginning of the year? Well, he was in very poor shape in preseason. And I hope somebody reads Darwin Quintero. You know, I see all the quotes and all the nice things. I want to see him fit in preseason. I want to see him fit from the word go because he wasn't last year. And he was on a million too. Okay, I saw it. I saw it in preseason. I was at a lot of the games. And yes, again, he was literally playing himself into shape in front of us. Does he make it a more interesting game? Absolutely, 100%. If we got the Santos version, it's great. But remember, if we're going to be a progressive team like everybody wants it to be, you're not getting anything defensively out of Darwin Quintero. So I think the idea is going to be here. This is a guy that's going to come off the bench. You let everybody beat each other up. You bring him on in the last 20 minutes of a game when people are fatigued and he takes advantage of people. But he's 34 years old. He's not the future of the club. I'm sure Tab Ramos would probably say to us that he would like to have dealt with him differently. But Tab Ramos is old school. He made it very clear you got to work. Just because you had 7 goals and 5 assists the prior year on a non-playoff team. Context, context. Got to think team here. You got to come prepared. You got to come ready to go. Non-playoff team. I don't care about your stats. We have to put this in context or we are never going to be able to go forward. And yes, the game is more fun when Darwin Quintero is on the field. I don't think there's any question. From an entertainment value, no question. But he's got to come in shape, and he needs to be accountable. And the media needs to hold him accountable also because, you know, he's saying all the right things on the re-signing, and that's great. But he's got to deliver, and I hope people are, you know, taking players aside like him because last year, honestly, he didn't earn that money. Are you kidding me? Over $1 million last year? No chance. And over the course of 2 seasons, not enough. And again, from the standpoint of Pat Onstad, the new GM, he's got to pull the trigger on some of these current players simply based on the fact that the club has no coach. They're still searching. And it's not easy. I'm optimistic. I'm realistic. I'm not pretending that youth development and our approach is correct in the youth community. Don't get butt hurt by that, but our academy has not produced first-team players in Houston. That's a fact. And let's hope that changes in the future because that's part of bringing a culture and identity to a club, which we throw these words out rhetorically all the time. We have to hire more Houston-area soccer-talented people. We have to pick off the best guys that retire from the Houston Dynamo and that are ambitious and want to be in coaching or want to be in the front office. We need those types of guys. But we talk about growing a soccer culture. It's not going to come simply from a GM and a coach. And in my opinion, the club has to learn this community better, understand it, engage it, stop competing against it. And why the hell is former Houston area youth player and MLS player Eric Quill going to FC Dallas? And then on to the Columbus Crew. By the way, he was in total control of Chris Richards, and he moved Richards to FC Dallas. He could have moved him to the Dynamo. That's a couple $1 million that could have been in the Dynamo pocket. Why isn't former Sporting Kansas City guy Josh Gardner working for the Dynamo Academy? We need him. We need these guys. These guys grew up playing on the fields here. We don't even know that. These guys can take you into good areas because of their connection with Houston. We need more Houston. And you got a higher percentage of qualified. And I say qualified individuals from Houston. Not unqualified, not freebies, not gimmies, guys that can get the job done. You need the local connection. And I would also say, Ricardo Clark, you want to get him back someday. He's in Vancouver as an assistant. Why not get him back? I mean, there's a guy that's work ethic, professional attitude. What an example that is to youth players. Eddie Robinson has been involved, my partner on television. All right, James Clarkson, the Dash making moves. We'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to come back, though, with John Walker, the Dynamo president here. A lot going on here today. Of course, Liverpool, that was a thriller here today. A lot of the teams in the Carabao Cup using a lot of younger players. So the semifinals are set. It's Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea, Spurs. A lot of youth being used in these games. We got Sergiño Dest stuff to talk about here. And then we'll take your phone calls also on what would you like as a Christmas or a holiday gift when it comes to the sport of soccer. All right, we'll take a break. Coming up, Dynamo president John Walker is coming up there next here on Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
The blue snowflakes start falling.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we roll on here tonight on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Don't forget, we're also on 92.5. You can get the podcast of this show at ESPN975.com. And as always, this show is presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. So a big thank you to John for being our presenting sponsor and his law firm and getting us on the air so that we can do interviews like our next one. Joining us now, Dynamo president John Walker. John, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You bet, Glenn. Always happy to do it.
Well, I know it's a very busy and a very, very quick off season, a month away from players coming back into preseason. A lot going on. I'm going to have to ask you one of the most obvious questions I think that's probably out there that fans want to know, and that is, what's the coach hire situation look like, and what's the timeline if you have one?
Yeah, well, our timeline all along was to try and get somebody in place before the holidays, before the end of the year, in fact. And we're still on track to accomplish that. We've talked to some great prospective coaches. We've narrowed it down, I think, to the finalists here. And I think we're just hopefully just days away from making an announcement.
So for you and Pat, is it difficult, and maybe it might even be slightly a little bit more difficult for him, putting a roster together as far as making deals? You know, is that a little bit delayed on trying to get players simply because you want to get the coach in place and to maybe get his blessings?
Yeah, I think when it comes to new acquisitions, you know, certainly you'd like to have your head coach to play a part in making those decisions. And so we have put a few of those conversations on pause while we, you know, name a head coach. But I think in terms of the, you know, the rest of the roster and the decisions that had to be made on options that we had, contracts that were expiring, I think, you know, Pat came in and assessed that very quickly. And has made most, if not all, of those decisions about what the, you know, the roster will look like from the previous list of guys that were on the squad. But certainly, as you mentioned, we want our head coach to have you know, a voice and you know, a hand in what the entirety of the roster looks like for 2022.
He's Dynamo president John Walker. Are there any other? And I'm not asking you to name names or anything, but are there any other qualities that are very much going to stand out in the type of coach that's hired, maybe that you can give the fan base?
Yeah, I think the, you know, the list of criteria that Pat put together will, along with some of the rest of the technical staff and Ted Siegel, quite honestly, you know, included somebody preferably with MLS experience, either as a player or a coach or both. Somebody, you know, potentially, it's always a plus in our market and in MLS to have somebody who speaks Spanish, somebody who is big on driving a positive culture and a winning culture within an organization. So, you know, people who've had experience in winning situations like Pat has had, is certainly those kinds of qualities have bubbled to the top.
John Walker, Dynamo president, joining us. We appreciate it, John. I know it's a very busy off season for you, and you've been doing a lot of work with the NWSL as well to add to it. Let's talk about the re-signing of Darwin Quintero. And let's face it, it wasn't the easiest year for the club last year, was not the easiest year for Darwin Quintero. He did have some pretty obvious fitness issues and things. Take us into that signing. We know how highly talented he is. The question mark maybe from the outside would be, how bought in will he be?
Yeah, well, Pat, you know, that was one of the first conversations Pat had when he came on board, was with the, you know, the decisions, the folks whose decisions we need to make on keeping them or not. And, you know, he spent some good time with Darwin, and Darwin, I think, really likes playing here in Houston. He knows that as he's gotten a little older, that maybe his skills aren't what they used to be. And so, you know, he'll be more of a spot player, I think. And he's come to terms with that. And, it'll be good to see him out there. 'Cause, you know, sometimes he's really magical, when he has the ball.
Well, we'll go back to that Seattle game. And I think, we all enjoyed that night very, very heavily. And I think, the owner, Ted Siegel, did, as well. All right. Let me just give you an open-ended one, because, you know, you're a creative thinker. You're a creative guy. Just maybe some things off the top of your head this year that could be a little bit innovative that maybe the fans can be expecting, looking forward to. Anything from that perspective?
Yeah, I mean, we spent a good deal of time during the middle of last season, you know, thinking about what 2022 could look like for our fans and for the stadium, and knowing that we had some big hires, you know, to make with a GM and a head coach. You know, from a stadium perspective, you know, we have gone ahead and we've started a couple of projects here this offseason that'll create some new premium spaces. We have a pitch zone and a sports deck, which are going to be on the south end above the tunnel and next to the tunnel where the players come out. Those two seating options will have sort of tabletops in front of them, kind of a loge box feel, and a different kind of food and beverage offering. So it's kind of a unique product for us, and actually a great vantage point of the pitch. If you've ever stood down there in the Heineken Star Bar and watched a little bit, you know that can be really exciting, especially when the ball's on that end of the pitch. So that's something that we're introducing. And then I think we've talked a couple times about introducing safe standing for our supporters up on the north end. It's something that they've been asking for since the stadium was open, quite frankly. And, you know, we got, when Ted came in, it was one of the first things he committed to do, I think, during his opening press conference, was we're going to have safe standing for our supporters. And so that project is going on as well. So there'll be a couple of new things that you'll be able to see this year when you come into the stadium. I think, you know, from a local broadcast partnership perspective, that contract was up. And so we're talking with local broadcast companies about what that might look like. And I think we're very close on an announcement there, probably right after the first of the year. That I think fans will be excited about, may include some streaming options too, which is something that we've heard from fans that they, you know, they'd like to have the opportunity to view our matches, you know, via streaming. And then the league made, MLS made the announcement a week or so ago, Glenn, about the MLS Next Pro, U23, league, which is new for 2022. We've raised our hands. We're one of 20 MLS clubs who are going to be participating along with an independent club here in 2022. And so behind the scenes, you know, Pat's not only working on the first team and the head coach for the first team, but we've got a new U23 team that we're going to be introducing as well. And it's going to be something that fans can take advantage of in terms of coming and down to the stadium and watching some of our younger talent. I think you'll see some players who are kind of, you know, spend some time with the first team, some time with the U23s. So there'll be, you know, there'll be MLS caliber talent playing in that league. And it gives us, you know, a way of introducing soccer maybe at a lower price point for some fans. So you should, you know, you can expect to see some innovative things there. We have a great new kit we're going to be introducing in mid-February, which is always a fan favorite to see what the new kit looks like. And this one's pretty special. So those things are new, will be new for 2022. I think given the schedule for the World Cup, which this year begins in November, MLS Cup will be, I think, November the 5th. So we're working towards a decision day of, you know, when you back up the schedule of October 9th, knock wood, provided we don't get any interruptions in our schedule. So, MLS Cup will be ending a little earlier this year than it has the last couple of years when it's been pushed into December. So that'll be slightly different. And I think also from a league scheduling perspective, the League's Cup, although, you know, we were a participant in the first League's Cup and then they had it last year, I think the MLS is going to put that on pause for 2022 and maybe bring it back in 2023. So that won't be something we'll be, you know, participating in, because the league's going to revamp that, maybe introduce more teams when they bring that in. And then also within MLS, new for 2022 is the 28th team, you know, FC or Charlotte FC. And they'll actually be coming to Houston on Sunday, July 3rd, which will be almost like a Saturday night, because I'm guessing folks will have Monday off. And so we'll be doing fireworks after that game. And that should be a lot of fun with their first visit to Houston.
Dynamo President John Walker, it's a great update there. Can I go back to the under 23 team? Obviously, that's a reserve team in differing terms and using a differing way to label that. Will those games be at PNC Stadium? Where will those games be? And yeah, I love this idea of fans being able to watch the future. I love it as a place to rehab players. I love the mix of an older veteran and younger players. I mean, these are all things that are essential. That's a big ingredient, I think, that the Dynamo have been missing while, you know, the affiliate was RGV in the Valley. So this could be real big. Where will they play?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. You know, we did for a long time have that good relationship with the folks at RGV, and that came to an end at the end of last season. And it was because we knew the MLS next pro league was going to be coming online this year. At this point, we're going to play them at PNC Stadium. We've also talked about potentially having a match or two at Aviva out there near Houston Sports Park. And so we may alter the schedule in terms of locations a little bit, just to try it out there, just to see how it plays for the clubs and then how the fans enjoy it as well. So 2022 is kind of an experimental year for that league. And so we'll try a couple of new things there. So
as far as those games, you know, how do they fit into the Dynamo schedule? What nights will those, is there kind of a set night when, you know, the under 23s will play? Do we know that?
I think the notion that most teams in the league has is that the U23s will travel with the first team. And so everybody's preference, I believe, is to try and play them the night before or the morning after, so that they can all travel together and there's not much interruption in the travel schedule. But the actual dates and times for those MLS Next Pro matches hasn't been set yet. The MLS schedule just came out last week, as you know. And so I'm sure that schedule will be set, you know, very shortly.
John, yeah, that's exciting. That's great stuff. Just take me back to the supporters groups and how much work are you guys doing with them to kind of try to grow their membership and get them to become a little bit bigger in mass and in numbers and working together?
Yeah, well, we, you know, as you may remember, we started the alliance a couple of years ago with the support, different supporter groups coming together and trying to have a meeting of the minds about how to do just that, about how to grow the membership, grow the impact that they can have on the matches. They branded themselves Hustle Town. We've kind of run with that in terms of some of the signage down at the stadium. And we were really off to a great start in 2020 for that first match against the Galaxy. And they had their first march to the match where they started through some of the pubs down there in Edo. And it was awesome to see. And then we got hit by the COVID bug, you know. And so that kind of put some of those things that they had been working so hard and together on in terms of kind of rituals and really kind of developing more of a presence, put some of that stuff on hold. But we continue to work with them, meet with them on a regular basis. I think they're excited about Pat being on board and sort of a fresh look at the club this coming season. And we will have many more meetings with them ahead of our opening match, which is, as you know, on February 27th against Real Salt Lake.
Looking forward to that one. That's a lot closer than we think. I have. I know you know that, but I'm thinking about that myself here. Talking to John Walker, the Dynamo president. Any more that has come out on the scouting system, and how much travel has Pat been doing? Because obviously, you know, Dynamo GM Pat Onstad not only is entrusted with helping get this club a coach, but, you know, he's probably doing a lot of traveling, I assume. Can you lead us into that a little bit, and maybe the scouting network?
Yeah, he has. And we, it's interesting you say that, because we've had a couple of meetings about the budget, the scouting budget. And that's one of the things that, that he's made clear to Ted and ownership, where we need to have more investment. And so, in addition to building out the coaching staff, he's looking at adding, you know, scouting talent as well. That can come in a couple of different forms. It can come in full-time scouts. It can come in relationships with folks who live, you know, in other countries and in some sort of management fee type arrangement. And I think he's, you know, he's exploring both of those. He's been on the road a bunch. I know he's been to Mexico. I know he's been to South America, maybe a couple different times. And then just within the States, he's had, you know, several trips as well as we've been, you know, interviewing coaches and doing those kinds of things. So he's actually been on the road a little bit here in his first 6-8 weeks for sure.
Yeah. And I'm sure he's taken a deep, you know, overview of the club at all the levels, the relationship in the youth community, the academy and all that. So my gut is he's going to have a lot of influence in those areas as well as you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think we all welcome that. He's got such great history here and a track record of success that we want him to be involved in all facets of the, certainly the soccer and his title would warrant that. But I think just his experience level here also, you know, means it's really vital to us to tap into that. You know, as we talk about the roster, Glenn, I know, you know, you and I have spoken before about, you know, Ted and his willingness to spend, improve the quality of the talent on the pitch for us. And I would want to make sure that our fans understand that is likely to come over a little bit of time versus it being, you know, January 1, suddenly, you know, we're spending multi-millions more on player talent. And it's because, and Pat put this well during his interview, you have to get the right pieces at the right time and kind of at the right cadence. Because if you don't, then you can really knock off your chemistry and you can get guys in here who have a certain skill set who can't come out of the gate being successful unless they have the supporting pieces around them. So it will be very thoughtfully done. I know there's a lot of discussion right now about DPs, what that looks like. That's part of the reason Pat's been doing the traveling that he's been doing. But I would just, you know, I would just caution everybody that there are multiple transfer windows across, we'll have one here coming up this in January, and then there'll be one in the summer too. And so I would think over the course of a couple of these transfer windows, now that Pat is on board and Ted's in place, I think you'll definitely see some movement.
And I know Pat spoke a lot about what I think can be a very effective tool, the under 22 initiative.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a new lever that teams have that they can utilize to bring in, you know, really top quality talent and hopefully talent that you can see develop. And then, you know, they can be very valuable assets down the road.
Well, John, listen, as always, we thank you very much. That's a lot of information packed into about 15, 16 minutes. We appreciate it. I'm sure I'll get some sort of note says, why didn't you ask this? Not Mr. Davis, but Glenn. So for whatever those questions are, we'll get you on again and we'll get those asked to you. But thank you, as always, for coming on the program.
You bet, Glenn. Have a good holiday. And to all your listeners, happy holidays out there. And I look forward to speaking with you right after January 1st.
Yeah, right back at you, Don. Happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 rolls on.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
I'm late as it is.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We're playing the Christmas
now,
tunes.
Stay put. Don't go anywhere till I get
throughout
back.
Is this Christmas in Hollis, Run DMC? Andrew?
It is, yes.
Yes, Run DMC. Christmas in Hollis, baby. Hollis Queens, that is. One of my favorite bands of all time, Run DMC. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here. Okay, we'll take your phone calls now if you have something to say about the John Walker interview. We touched on a lot of subjects there. We've talked a lot about the Dynamo. We've gotten the recent signing of Steve Clark coming over from the Portland Timbers. Interesting goalkeeper, very different. Brings a little bit of entertainment value to the position. An interesting personality. I'm actually looking forward to seeing him in goal here in Houston. I think with the late signing of a head coach, you got to make sure you have a veteran in goal, with all due respect to Michael Nelson, who's going to be competing for that job and got valuable minutes next year. But goalkeepers can win you games. They can win you points. They're expected to every year. So this could be a very good signing for the Dynamo. He's played in two MLS Cups as well, by the way. Jorge Iturralde of Club Deportes in Austin. He covers Austin FC. He's going to join me in the next hour. Ray Reed, the legendary college coach at the University of Connecticut, and also from the Houston soccer community, Chris Bondi will join us. Number one draft choice in MLS, won the Herman Award, which is equivalent to the Heisman, from Houston, Texas, came here from Liberia during the Civil War with his parents, played for the Cyfair Dynamos Youth Soccer Club, which is headed up now by Olivier Finidori. Bill Sinclair was very helpful to Chris Bondi, and that entire soccer club was. And then he transitioned over to the club that I was involved in, the Hurricane Soccer Club. So I had an opportunity to coach Chris in his latter years a little bit. So I happened to be the guy that, you know, along with Tony Johnson, took a lot of the heavy recruiting. Ray Reed was relentless at Connecticut, and he got him, and he got prior to Chris and with Chris, Sam Forco, Garrett Grunsfelder, Ryan Brown, and Edwin Rivera, and they all won a national title in 2000. So that's the pride we have in Houston. Albert Elis scored a pair of goals here today. Bordeaux was winning against Lille, and they ended up losing 3-2. The interesting thing here is the winning goal for Lille was scored by Jonathan David, the Canadian international, the 21-year-old. So it's a big day for CONCACAF when it comes to Honduras and Canada. Albert Elis now, I believe, has 7 goals. What a story. And let me tell you, there's a lot of you out there that used to criticize him crazily. Oh, he can't do this, he can't do that. He was our best player. Created a lot of chaos for opponents, breaking lines. And there was when he first got here from Monterrey, Albert Elis had a little bit of a kind of an off-the-rails wildness about his play. I guess that's a decent word I could say. It got more sophisticated. He learned how to do more than just push a ball and run down the line. He began to cut inside. He worked on combining with people more. So he's a wonderful story. Goes to Sporting. He goes to Portugal and then makes the jump to League One in France. He scored against PSG, too. How many people can say that in the room? Not too many. So a big welcome back to the show. I did mention the Carabao. Oh, Sergiño Dest and Barcelona. Well, Barcelona's likely going to put him and make him available during the January transfer window. They're trying to be compliant. They're trying to make differing moves. They're bringing back Dani Alves in January at 38 years of age. They've got guys under big contracts like Piqué and Sergio Busquets, Jordi Alba. Those guys are under big numbers, and they're just trying to keep it going. But they do have a lot of young talent that's getting opportunity now. That is interesting. All right, Andrew, so your Gunners have gotten past Sunderland and on Tuesday, so they'll play Liverpool in the semifinals.
Yeah, it's going to be a very, very tasty matchup. The Liverpool-Arsenal matchups in the past have always been exciting in the Carabao Cup. I think they had a 5-5 draw that went to penalties last season, so it should be a lot of fun. I know there's still some debate on whether it's going to be a two-leg or single-leg final, depending on what the English FA decides on because of all the coronavirus and everything else that's still going around and still causing issues for everyone. But it's going to be during the African Cup of Nations. Both teams are going to be missing some key players. should be a lot of fun. But there's lots of young players on both sides who have been performing really well throughout the tournament thus far, and that sort of matchup between two young, hungry sides, it almost never disappoints.
Yeah, lots of youth involved in the Carabao Cup. That's why we see a lot of goals. We see a little bit of undisciplined play, which leads to good entertainment. Today, there was a number of unforced errors in the Arsenal-Liverpool game, and Chelsea and Spurs will be the other semifinal. By the way, back to Barcelona, Ferran Torres, that sounds like that's going to happen in the Nets transfer window. That is being reported by Fabrizio Romano. And that he will sign a 5-year deal. So that's why Barcelona is trying to figure out how to produce a situation where they're compliant and financially responsible here. Just crazy how they got undressed in the pandemic and how in debt they were. It's absolutely remarkable. So Jaime Lozano, 43 years of age, played at UNAM Pumas, played for the Mexican national team over 30 times. He worked at Querétaro as a manager, assistant manager under Victor Manuel Vucetich, and then took the team as a head coach. Was not very successful as a head coach. Has been very proven with younger players, including the under 20 team at Querétaro, which is essentially their reserve team. He's been linked heavily for the Dynamo. A lot of people have even said that he will be the next Dynamo coach. I'm not convinced yet. We'll see. I think the process is still ongoing. That's the sense that I get. But the Dynamo said they wanted to get somebody in place here, you know, by the end of this month. And this is why this is a real challenge right now, trying to find a coach, getting a coach. You don't want to make too many player moves without the coach. This is why this is a very difficult job. And we really have to appreciate this for Pat Onstad as a first gig, right? You know, if you have a coach in place, you're probably making more player moves. That's why I think that sort of area is going to be a little bit delayed. I think you'll see some action in January, but you heard John Walker say that, you know, the spend has to be calculated. It sounds like Pat Onstad wants to put the shell of a team together, you know, before they go for the designated player type of guy. I would think Pat is obviously going to use the under 22 initiative. That's a valuable tool to bring in some talent. But again, I think it's up the middle of the team. That's what he said. That's what we've all said prior to Pat being hired as a GM was, you know, you need a center forward. You need somebody behind that guy that can be played through, can create, can produce. It's not going to be, Darwin Quintero. I mean, it sounds like, you know, your best bet is getting him in shape. He's coming back. He gets to stay in Houston, which he desperately wanted. And he comes off the bench, 20, 25 minutes left, maybe a spot start here and there. But he can't help you in a pressing game. And I said it before last season that was going to be a problem. Guys that can't do it two ways are going to be a bit of a problem under Todd Ramos in that system. And if that's the way you're going to play, it's difficult. So I think he's definitely probably going to be convinced to be an off-the-bench option, and I hope he's going to come back in better shape because I think he's – I don't know how professional it was last year. You got to be a professional. You got to come in shape, and that's a lot upon a player. And changing a culture, guys got to want it. Guys got to be in shape. So we'll see how that ends up turning out in the future. Also, I wanted a quick shout out here to, a great friend of this show and in our soccer community, Carlos Lessa, played indoor for the Houston Hotshots. Bear Creek United was a youth club that he built up with Arturo Alvarez, who was one of the big names there, but they had a number of very, very good teams. And of course, Arturo went on to a professional career, ended it here in Houston. Sad to report that his brother, Andre Lessa, passed away. So our thoughts are with Carlos, the Lessa family, and with Andre as well. Too much of this stuff going on right now, which is hard to stomach sometimes. It's upsetting. Jaime Lozano, again, going back to him as a potential for the Houston Dynamo. you got to think right now. Look, if you're out there thinking guys of the stature of Bob Bradley and all are coming to the Dynamo, it's not going to happen. Like I said, the signing will come with a question mark. You may say, okay, this guy's coming from the USL. How ready is he for Major League Soccer? It was no different than with Tab Ramos, where we said, hey, incredibly successful guy as a player, incredibly successful developing young players. Now the big challenge for Tab is day-to-day, working with players on a daily basis, differing personalities, pros. You know, when you're coaching an under-20 team or an under-23 team, people are going to, you know, a national team, they'll jump off a bridge for you. That's not the same when you get to the pro level. So will it be somebody from the USL? Will it be an assistant coach from one of the Major League Soccer teams? I mean, I think this is the area you have to focus on here. And I'm not sure anybody's going to, you know, do backflips when the announcement is made. It's pretty clear you're not going to get an older veteran Mexican coach like a Tuca Ferretti or a Vucetich or any of those types of player coaches. It's pretty obvious. That's not happening. So I think you got to look at assistant coaches in MLS, USL coaches, or maybe a young coach in Mexico that could possibly be Jaime Lozano. All right, I think you probably remember this one. FM Kitchen and Bar, two locations, Montrose and Westheimer. Good friend Jason. And then the location here above Washington, north of Washington on Shepherd. They got a great outdoor area. I bring my dog there. Great burgers, great chicken sandwiches. They do steak nights there. Get over there during the holidays. It's a great place outside to sit in the beer garden, have a craft cocktail and some of their fresh, fresh food. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of Austin FC and what's going on up there. Jorge Iturralde of Club Deportes in Austin is going to join me. He's a bit outspoken. You're going to like him. He's a bit outspoken. Take a break. More to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
Home for sports is ESPN 97.5.